We're basically studying fuel management strategies to alter fire behavior in the forest.
Gary Roller is the project manager of the SPLAT project at UC Berkeley's Sagehen Creek Field Station.
It's an acronym that stands for Strategically Placed Area Treatment.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit and talk about what makes your research cutting edge? I know it's a pilot program.
Cutting edge, I guess, because this is just it's all theoretical right now, and we are trying to take it to the actual implementation stage. We are out here this summer collecting all of our baseline data as far as fuel loading and tree density and many, many other things. And what a SPLAT is basically treatments that are out in the middle of the forest. Most of them are going to involve some sort of thinning, some reduction of the density of the trees. And it's supposed to help alter the fire behavior if you have a crown fire situation burning through your forest. You know, a crown fire will hit this area potentially, and it should hopefully, you know, drop it to the ground, reduce the hazard.
Nicole Viant is a PhD student at UC Berkeley working on the project.
The whole goal of SPLATs, since it's a landscape-level treatment, is that it's supposed to stand alone without suppression, whereas other things like shaded fuel breaks and fuel breaks along roadsides are supposed to be used in conjunction with suppression. So since it's the SPLATs are aligned with known wind patterns and topography, so the idea is that the fire will rush towards a SPLAT, it'll hit it, and it'll die down, and then it'll flank around the SPLAT, and it'll pick up speed again until it hits another SPLAT. So basically, if there is a fire and there's not the fear of houses burning or loss of life and property, that you can just let the fire burn and the SPLAT will take care of it itself.
How does this theory relate to the existence of ancient forests or the way that Native Americans managed forests hundreds of years ago?
It's quite different because today's forests are not anything like they were when Native Americans were managing them because of the suppression for the past 100 years. The fuel loads have built up so much that I don't think just letting the landscape burn on its own would mimic what it did of Native American times.
Is this then a strategy to work back towards that kind of healthy forest that existed before a century of contemporary or modern forest management?
It's not a way. It is a way of getting the forest into a healthier state, but I don't know if it's a way to go back and do conservation and reconstruct what used to be, because I don't know if that's necessarily possible at this point in time. That's just my opinion.
It's definitely not something that we're not trying to recreate the past whatsoever. We're trying to just protect it into the future, you know, the forest and the landscape as a whole. But yeah, we're not trying to rehabilitate anything.
What are some challenges that are facing you as you look toward the transition between theory and experimenting with actual forests and this fire management strategy?
I think the one of the biggest hurdles to get over is going to be the public interaction, you know, hearing what they have to say and what they think about this, because it's a theory that's not all that well known right now. We're going to have to explain to them what the theory is and how to take that to the next step in the implementation. I think dealing with the public is really going to be the biggest hurdle. And analyzing the mountains of data we've collected this summer.
And when will that transition be? When will you begin experimenting in that level?
The goal from the Forest Service is within the next 2 years, actually, doing the implementation part of it.
Why do you think the public is going to have a problem with this?
I don't think they're necessarily going to have a problem with it, but, you know, fire's a touchy issue. A lot of people understand the benefits of fire and the role that fire plays in an ecosystem, but smoke is the biggest problem that we're going to have to deal with. But, you know, I don't know how much actual prescribed burning is going to be happening here. Whatever SPLAT we do or wherever we put them, it's always going to be reduction of density as far as the trees are concerned. Fire is going to be another issue, and that's something that the Forest Service is really going to have to, you know, explain to the public and deal with the potential backlashes of a burning. How many ever hectares are going to burn out here?
Can you give us a before and after picture of a SPLAT area? Tell us what the forest looks like pre-SPLAT and post-SPLAT.
Pre-SPLAT, Sagehen Basin's, it's fairly unique because it's really diverse, so it's hard to say. There's so many different vegetation types. So pre-SPLAT, some areas may look similar post-SPLAT, but in a lot of areas, the trees, the stocking's really high, so it's really dense, and they'll go through and thin out the smaller trees. So they'll leave, I mean, economically, they do have to take larger trees within the 30-inch limit, but they will take some of the larger trees, but mainly they'll be thinning out the understory and possibly doing prescribed fire as well to help clear that out. So it'll just be, the goal is to get 25 to 30% of the landscape of the 2,700 hectares will be treated, but the rest will remain the same, untouched.
By treated, really, that's, like I said before, is a reduction of the density and then some sort of fuel or slash management strategy to deal with all the debris that is on the ground.
10 years from now, looking back on the health of this forest, what difference will your research and this project have made?
Just with the density so high, thinning can help as far as if there's any beetle attacks or if drought comes back again. I mean, this year was a great rain year, so trees are looking really healthy. But if we do hit another big drought for 10 years, having a lower density of trees will increase the health in that area and the splat.
Jeff Brown is station manager at UC Berkeley's Sage Hen Creek Field Station.
Gary talks about the public as being a potential obstacle, and I hear where he's coming from. I think the Forest Service has been trusted over the last 100 years to manage our forests, and it's obvious from the public's perspective that they're not real happy with where we are today. So I think the issue kind of boils down a lot to trust, and I think that this project is a great opportunity for the public to actually work with the Forest Service and the researchers here to maybe reestablish a basic level of trust to go into this thing. And then as what we learn from this project unfolds, if things work out the way people think that it will, this could actually be a great bridge to start bringing the public and the Forest Service back together. I think if we do things the way we've been doing things, there's a huge obstacle. But I think this does create us a great opportunity to maybe change our past practices and past paradigms and past management techniques, maybe flip a page in the chapter and, you know, truly work towards getting our forests back to where they really should be.
If an overdensed forest is a risk and there's a researched way to reduce that that is not going to impact adversely on homes or people...
I don't think it's the research that people will be wary of. Part of it will be logging. There's a big environmental group, bunch of groups out here that really, anytime they hear logging or cutting trees, they get up in arms. Anytime you hear about prescribed fire, some people do get, they get worried because, yeah, things happen like the Los Alamos fire, which is a way overused example. But, I mean, prescribed fires do have a small, like 0.5% chance of getting lost. And, I mean, there are homes very nearby. I mean, my family has a house like 2 miles down the by Bird's Flight from here. So I think that's always just people get nervous with prescribed fire, and logging is always a touchy issue, or thinning.
It seems when you consider all of the different aspects environmentally friendly, are you facing criticism from environmentalists?
The new decision in the framework was to go with splat as the tool, but yet it's not really tested. It's all theory and it's all computer modeling, and it was tested on some flat terrain in Utah in cheatgrass, which really may or may not apply to this part of the world. You know, it made a lot of people nervous to bank on a technique that's yet to really be proven. Another thing to think about is some people may say that the splat approach really isn't going far enough. We're only treating 25 to 30% of the landscape. Somebody could easily ask, well, why not treat 100% of the landscape? Or we're only starting the job and we don't see how we're going to finish it. Another way to think about splat is a splat may be the tool to buy us the time to figure out what we really need to do over the long term. Me managing this place here at Sage Hen, when we go moderate to high to extreme fire danger, I don't sleep well at night because this place is prime to go up. And when you think about going up the way the forest is now, we're talking stand replacing, which means meltdown, which basically turning the ground to ash. And systems take a long time to come back from that type of event. I mean, we've already seen several of those events around here in the last 4 or 5 years. That might be another way to look at the splat thing is you know, getting the time to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of the place.
Another thing with splats, too, just as far as being a token to get buy us some time, is there's a whole idea behind maintaining them, and nobody's quite sure if they'd go back into that same 25%. Let's say 10, 15 years down the road, some shrubs could come back. You know, it's going to need maintenance, or if then they'll go to the next 25%. So it could be something over the next 40 or 50 years, 100% of the landscape is treated, but right now we'll start with the initial 25 to 30%.
Your one question about the have we received any backlash or anything from the public yet? No, we haven't. And I'm just speculating that we might. You know, we're very open here. Jeff has opened the door to the public to come in and to listen to what we're doing. And we've had a good response, I think. You know, we're not hiding anything here, and we'd love to have people come out. And I'm more than willing to discuss this with people, you know, like we are now. And I hope a lot of people hear this and become more interested in it.
Reporting from UC Berkeley's Sage Hen Creek Field Station, I'm Carolyn Crane.